You are listening to episode number 174 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
I was driving on the freeway in the fast lane with a rabid Wolverine in my underwear when suddenly a guy behind me in the backseat popped right up and shoved his hands across my eyes. I guess they said Uncle Frank or Cousin Louie. Is it Bob or Joe or Walter? Could it be Bill or Jim or Ed or Bernie or Steve? I probably would have kept on guessing, but about that time we crashed into the truck. And as I'm laying bleeding there on the asphalt, finally I recognize the face of my Hibachi dealer who takes off his prosthetic lips and tells me everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up is down, and short is long.
One. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the post-San Diego Comic-Con extravaganza episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Be forewarned, most of this show will be discussing San Diego Comic-Con news and tidbits. And FYI, I want to get this out of the way. Next week, we will not be doing a regular show. Instead, because I know it's going to be a long one and I know it's going to be crazy, next week will be a show just simply dedicated to Guardians of the Galaxy, the critically acclaimed movie that has been apparently getting rave reviews ever since it came out last week or 2 weeks ago. So, in theaters this Friday, we will be doing a special edition podcast for it. So, yeah, that's the thing. Taser, we'll see. Just because of this man, Taser. Speaking of which, welcome Taser to the show.
Yo, what's up, people?
I am your host, the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is Rocket's biggest fan, Brian Powers.
Hey, do you guys smell that? It smells like 97% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes based on 29 reviews.
Okay, you know what? Fuck Rocket.
Yeah, I also smell what the Rock is cooking, okay? So shut the fuck up.
Okay.
What is he cooking, Taser?
He's cooking that this movie's going to suck ass. That's what he's cooking.
Oh, I can't.
No, you know what's going to happen? You are going to have to kiss my ass to keep your job, Olive Vince McMahon, once this movie rocks. And you're going
to
be
that
drunk.
Just goes to show you keep having those, you know, femme thoughts about me, like what we saw on Facebook. So
I don't
have a problem with
you're
it.
You're the one talking about walking around all day with a beaver strap.
You
machine,
and Taser,
right?
You know, there's a love affair going on.
And joining us from the state of
Oklahoma.
You're
going to love this movie, Taser.
John, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Hopefully his internet doesn't fuck
up.
Wow,
that didn't sound country at all.
This movie is going to be better than Kamen Rider. Who said that? Who said that?
Well, apparently we're hooked on... Well, apparently we're hooked on a feeling, so let's get right into this underway. Obviously, the biggest pop culture event happened last week, which is San Diego Comic-Con. And holy crap, was there a lot of Marvel news. Not just...
Dude, it was a lot.
Jesus Christ. I've never seen so many announcements. Jesus. Okay, so let you all know, we're going to divide this up in two ways. Entertainment news, as long as other things that were not specifically announced at the Comic-Con, as well as comic publishing news. So, Brian, let's get right this baby underway. Let us know what happened.
All right, people. Well, as you all know, Ben runs this podcast, so it's best to keep the boss happy by leading off with the fact that Joaquin Phoenix, Mr. Phoenix, that's right, he's being considered for the role of none other than Stephen Strange, a.k.a. the Doctor Strange, that's right. He is up for the leading role. In
Certified General. General. Whatever. Different thing. Not politics. What? Go on.
Ant-Man just lost 3 of its cast members, including Patrick Wilson, apparently due to a script remodeling that came about after Edgar Wright departed and Peyton Reed took the reins of the movie, and then Adam McKay.
Wait. Is Patrick Wilson Owen Wilson's brother?
No, I do not believe he's one of the Wilson brothers, but I could be. So,
Owen Wilson could have played Eric O'Grady. I would have liked that.
Let's see. Over at Sony, they set the Sinister Six movie for 2016, pushing Amazing Spider-Man 3 back to 2018.
I told you, fucks. I told you.
People came to the defense of the Fantastic Four movie, that is the Executive Suits did, a.k.a. Simon Kinberg, saying it is a, quote, celebration of comics that preceded it. And we topped it off with a little production photo of The Thing from that movie. And holy shit, do I miss Michael Chiklis' practical effects from the first Fantastic Four movie. Because goddamn, I hate that thing. No pun intended. Moving on. We got some TV news spinning out, mainly about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. Let's see.
It's
No, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say it's going to be helmed by the director of the first Captain America movie, Joe Johnson, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I know that the directors of Winter Soldier will also be directing a couple of – either writing or directing a couple episodes as well. So, yeah. And Jarvis is in it as well.
I do, well, yeah. I mean, she yeah. I don't co-sign the whole showrunner thing, but that could just be me.
Well, I'm not showrunner, but, you know, directing something. Whatever. Well, I read that somewhere. I know I
so,
read
So, yeah,
it somewhere.
Jarvis is going to show up at some point in Agent Carter, thereby laying the groundwork for Tony to base his AI upon in the future. Also, on top of that, we know that the series will take place starting off in 1946, and Hayley Atwell was, quote, locked in a room and couldn't leave till she finished the script, apparently, of the...
Oh, yeah, that's why she didn't leave the room to finish the script.
You know what that reminds me of?
Well, you know what? If any other actress had like that and I had access to them, I'd probably lock them in a room, too.
You know what? That reminds me of that. Have y'all seen that Arsenio Hall bit where he's interviewing... what's his name?
Don Cheadle.
Cheadle. And he's like, you want to know something about the Avengers?
All of a sudden, the laser.
Yeah. And then all the lasers. And like Arsenio's like, no, maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, maybe.
That was a good bit, actually.
Like, Marvel takes their shit seriously.
Also, a shit ton of casting news coming out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including Lucy Lawless.
Yes!
A S.H.I.E.L.D. veteran. Isabel Hartley, English actor Nick Blood playing Lance Hunter of Strike. That is an acronym, ladies and gentlemen. Reed Diamond will be playing Daniel Whitehall, a Hydra agent who is known in the comics as none other than the Kraken, who if you read Secret Warriors, and you really should have, you know. And also the show teased the appearance of none other than Barbara Bobby Morse, a.k.a.
Mockingbird.
Although no actor was assigned to the role, but they are teasing her appearance at some
Hopefully
point.
Hopefully something Jeremy Renner can touch.
I am hoping it's, what's her name? Oh, Jesus. Yvonne Girl from Chuck. Sarah Walker from Chuck. What's her name?
Yvonne Strahovski.
No.
Yeah, thank you.
Not Yvonne.
Hey, she can kick ass and
No, tough. Sure she could, but I think it's too easy.
And who do you think would be the better
That's
choice?
True, actually. But I do like her in that role. I think she could so nail it. Nail it.
Hey!
I don't know women actresses that much, so. At least in that age group.
Yeah, he focuses more on the male actors. Yeah, that says a lot.
Kevin Spacey holds my attention at all times. What?
So,
hey!
Ultimate Spider-Man, also over at the animation panel, was teased for Season 3 bringing about the Web Warriors, which is pretty much like Spider-Verse showing up in animated form based on all the Spider-Man they have featured. So that includes Spider-Man 2099, looks like Spider-Man Noir, a female Spider-Man, and Peter Porker.
Spectacular Spider-Ham. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had to stop that one.
And that whole panel was capped off with animated footage for the test of Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. Star-Lord.
How might actually be better than the movie?
Keep going. What else do we
Unbelievable. Just an interview conducted with Kevin Feige about Avengers Age of Ultron. Just little tidbits here and there. Nothing we don't already know. But that was pretty much the whole spin of it in terms of entertainment news. It pretty much centered on those flicks and those television shows. But let me tell you, everything seems to be shaping up pretty damn well, if I do say so.
Okay.
Hulkbuster armor!
Biggest...
Yes.
And Vision. Vision is confirmed. Vision is confirmed.
Yeah, but we knew that.
Seeing him in the poster and
okay, fair enough.
You know, it's like, well, we didn't see him, but he has a yellow cape.
Actually, you've seen the whole poster, right?
Yeah, it's like all them.
That
fighting.
Was not a bad piece of art. Oh. Not at all.
It just confirms that they're going to do what I think. Oh my god, I can't. I want that movie. It's Ultron. It's Ultron.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to calm down. I'm going to recompose. Really surprised at Guardians of the Galaxy animated series. That was like that was the they didn't make a Captain America. They didn't make any other like team sort of thing. So it was just one that like, wow, you're doing an animated series on that. You must really have confidence that this is going to be gangbusters, which all signs point to, yes, it will be.
Yeah, right.
Well, we'll see.
Turtles, that's all I got to say.
I will.
Ninja Turtles?
I will replay that.
Okay. No, just Turtles.
I will also say to that movie will get its money just because of name recognition. And then next week it'll drop off like a brick like Amazing Spider-Man did.
You want to put money on that?
I know that's going to happen. I don't need to put money on
that. So you want to put money on that?
You won't put money on that.
I'll put money on that.
No, are we talking Bitcoin or what's happening here?
I'm talking cold hard paper cash.
I know that because that's how the movie industry works. Anyways.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Anyways, I'm not saying Guardians is going to be successful. But
they will be successful.
They think
must be successful.
They obviously think Guardians is going to be a huge hit to announce an animated series. You don't announce an animated series as something that you don't think is
going to happen. Yeah, they thought that the first time with their first Avengers cartoon. That died an ugly death.
Well, that just ended because the other people didn't like it.
Wasn't that because of Jeff Lowe?
Yeah.
Or was that a different Avengers
cartoon? Yeah, that didn't end because of cancellation. That ended because they wanted to end it and do it their own way.
No, they ended it. No, that's the first one. I'm talking about the one from the 90s.
Oh, that doesn't count. That was
Avengers. Yes, it does.
No.
It doesn't. Yes.
There was no Avengers movie. There was no Avengers movie. Anyways. really excited about Doctor Strange, about Joaquin Phoenix. I think he could play the role very, very well. Simon Kinberg can shove it up his ass, because I know he's speaking bullshit. I don't trust what he says.
No one does.
Well, Hyperion does. So yeah,
stupid.
I do like how the thing looks. I'm not gonna lie.
Ow.
Granted, that's not a final thing, and I hope he's not. I don't think he's gonna be gray. Maybe he will be. Who knows? But I do like how it looks. It looks a lot more organic rock versus what was done with Michael Chiklis. And I like the what they did with him, but this one looks a lot more like. How they put the pieces together looks a lot more organic, which I'm in favor of. I think that's all I have to say. Just give me Age of Ultron now, please. Just give me that movie. Just give me it, please. Anything y'all have to say about the San Diego Comic-Con news? John, we'll start with you.
Not really. I mean, I missed the picture of the thing, so I can't comment on that, but I'll just, if I can find another...
It looks like a true-to-life version of, a shittier version of Big Rock Dude from X-Men. Oh. What's his face?
I was going to say Bad Rock from Youngblood, but that's the only other other studio. We'll leave it at that. I'm pretty excited on some of the stuff. I'm not happy again hearing yet again that Ant-Man's going downhill, and just but I'll have to wait and see how they do it. And,
No, John, because they said it wasn't related to the Edgar Wright departure, so it's okay.
No. There was a protester outside of that con that had a billboard that said Wright was right. Wait, Edgar was right, actually.
Wait, so, really?
Seriously?
I think I posted it, too. It
was wow. You know what? I feel sorry. I want to hug that guy. I'm like, dude, go away.
I mean, and then seeing... I'm trying to think of... like you said, there's just a shit ton of stuff that came out, and it's just kind of hard to process it all. And so I'll just have to wait and see on everything. Go ahead and go with somebody else. My brain just kind of went,
bleh. Hey, what about you?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, let's see. I'm more excited for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter stuff more than anything else, if only because I'm a bigger TV guy than I am really you know, movies come along, you see them once, and you kind of move on. Except for Guardians, which I will see four times in a row, because it's going to be that good. Taser.
Keep the Guardians talk for next week, boys. Back to your corners.
This fine. Okay, but I'm super hyped for the amount of talent they're bringing to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better setup, and I have nothing but faith in both of these shows, especially for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the second season. I'm really
hyped.
I
will watch Agent Carter over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. any day.
I'm going to watch both, so I don't have to choose, because
I'm choosing.
I will be trying to watch Agent Carter.
I prefer time period pieces, and that's what that is. So.
Well, excuse me for not being a pretentious douchebag, but I like both.
You aren't? I thought you were.
No, I'm not. I'm obnoxious, not pretentious.
No, he's
from... Oh, okay, there's a difference. Okay.
Yeah, there is.
He's from Baston, of course he is. He's from Red Sox
fan. Let's see. Like Biggie said, Tom Kingberg can kiss my ass, the fattest part of my ass, no doubt, because fuck him for just stupid... God, I hate Fantastic Four so much right now, but I love it. I love the comics. I hate the movie. It's quite a conundrum.
You don't even read the comics anymore.
Yeah, besides the point. I got respect for the characters, man. You don't need to read the series to love the characters. I mean, I guess you kind of do. But
yeah, pretty much.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm super hyped for the TV stuff coming out of Marvel. If they actually get a Guardians cartoon going, I'm gonna be watching that, no doubt. I'll watch it more than I ever watched Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
What is the matter with you?
Because I'm that guy. I am that guy.
Which is why Bri fails.
Wow, Brian, if Guardians of the Galaxy, if I don't like it, not saying it sucks, but if I don't like it, I'm coming after you like there's no tomorrow.
What, me personally?
Yeah, I'm going to find you and then for
you're
going
to come on him like there's no tomorrow? What was that?
Well, this is a porn star set, so let's get this over with.
Hey!
Yo.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've gotten to a point in my real life whenever I hear those
speaking of porn, Haley Atwell, sorry.
Yes?
Swing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's... What else? Oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry, I skipped over something. We found out Hank Pym has a daughter instead of a wife, apparently. Hope Van Dyne is played by Evangeline Lilly, because reasons.
Paul Rudd's
love
interest.
I like her.
Where have I heard that name? Where have I seen
Lost.
It? I didn't watch Lost.
She was Jack's girl. Whatever her name was.
I didn't watch Lost.
She was in The Hobbit.
I didn't watch The Hobbit either. I didn't
the
watch
second it. Episode. Real? You suck.
I don't. Something tells me. Every time I go to the movie theater to watch, I'm like, I get like a force field bubble. It's like, nope.
Yeah, it's not comic related. Nope.
No, nope. I love Lord of the Rings. You know what? To
this
make
wasn't
up for
Lord of the Rings, this was The Hobbit.
Well, it was. I mean, no, I'm saying I saw Lord of the Rings, so I would like the. I love The Hobbit, so. I just, for some reason, I keep forgetting to see it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy, like, that big freaking box edition they're going to do to make up for
who was she in The Hobbit?
I don't... The elf? Was she an elf?
She played one of the elves.
Yeah, she was a female
archer. She the one who had the thing for the dwarf?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Ah, oh, okay. I thought she looked familiar. Okay.
So is she going to be Paul Rudd's love interest in the movie, I guess?
Smart Money says yes. They haven't really confirmed much beyond the fact that she will be Hank Pym's daughter and that her name is Hope Van Dyne.
Why is Paul Rudd an action star? This is going to be weird.
Well, you know, whoever would have thought that...
It's Paul Rudd, man.
Yeah, I mean, no, never mind.
I love
That's
Paul
weird.
Rudd, don't get me wrong, but it's just going to be so fucking weird to see him do stunts.
Well, remember, he's Scott Lang, right? So, you know.
I don't know. It's just like, you're Paul Rudd.
I don't know. Science characters always have a different air about them for me, so I'm not sure I'll be really paying attention to that. But, well, you know, he'll... Well...
Oh, we also saw the Ant-Man costume.
Yeah,
actually,
that's true.
It doesn't look bad.
I like
Onset
it.
Concept art, yeah.
Not at all.
I like it.
Oh yeah, and we got confirmation that Yellow Jacket is indeed the villain of
which
the story.
Is a little disappointing because I wanted to see even if it technically is not right comic continuity wise, but this is a whole new universe, it doesn't matter. I would love to have seen Paul Rudd gone insane and it's sort of a new personality called Yellow Jacket in the sequel. Maybe he can still do it because that's where he gets the idea. Who knows? It's not entirely
maybe. I mean, it's not like he got to invent Ultron, so they gotta give him something, right?
Yeah, well,
yep.
Maybe he'll invent Jocasta.
Did anybody see that Darth Vader car?
Yes.
There was a car literally in the shape.
Speaking of...
It was Darth Vader's car. It looked like his face. It was fucking awesome.
Taser, what are your thoughts on the San Diego Comic-Con Entertainment News Roundup?
Well, I'm surprised Bri didn't talk anything about the Champions game that I just kind of linked. You know, the Marvel Contest of Champions mobile game.
Oh, it's a mobile game.
That's why, because it's a mobile game.
Yeah,
it's
mobile and smartphones and tablets. Well, it's still a game. It's a fighting game.
I don't do mobile gaming.
Yeah, mobile.
Still counts.
No, it doesn't.
If I'm going to game, I'm going to sit down somewhere and...
You can sit down with a phone
tablet. No.
And do Combo Breaker.
I'm going to sit down in the comfort of my own home in front of a big
TV. I want to actually use buttons. I don't want to touch the screen. Fuck that.
Oh, that's why you have a Wii U.
I don't. That has buttons on it. That has buttons on it. I don't have to use
a glorified tablet.
It has buttons on it.
That's probably the largest, most obnoxious controller I've ever seen for a fucking console.
Not the discussion for this, but I will say
you can't argue it though.
No, I can't argue it, but I'm not gonna degrade.
Save it for the RPG shows on Wednesday. Yeah. Get that shit out of here.
Okay, fair enough.
And I will. All I'm saying is that mobile gaming is not gaming. You're not a gamer if you only play mobile games. There, I'm saying it. Just saying it.
Oh, so that counts.
I forget.
As Game
no,
Boy
you know
games,
what?
Then.
You know what? Actually,
Game Boy.
My sentiment is that of the pictured taser shared. Why don't we take all the resources they're putting in these mobile games and push it into Ultimate Alliance 3?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but it's on par with the first game because the second Alliance
was
kind of wacky.
In a handheld. That's still gaming. Mobile games is just, you know, simple little things. That's not gaming.
Game.
It's not gaming. They are games.
But anyway, I'm just saying this is news that came out, so to ignore it would be disingenuous of us. That's why I mention it. Okay, just like the fact
we are nothing if not disingenuous.
Pretty much.
We're highly disingenuous.
If you're into that sort of thing called mobile gaming, then fine. Go have fun. Me, meh. I don't. I'd rather another full fledged Marvel adventure on a console. Well,
there was also a Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel pinball game and a Marvel Heroes 2015.
Pinball's dope though. I mean, like, come on, pinball.
You can't not that. That's gaming.
Pinball's like one of the cornerstones of America, okay? I don't even care who you are.
America!
I love pinball.
Oh, yeah!
I love playing Sonic Pinball back in the day. Anyways, anything else?
That does it for the entertainment news anyway, but we got some comic news if we want to.
Yay! Comic news!
Almost like for a comic book podcast.
There was a shit ton of that, too.
Yeah, actually there was quite a bit, but it was scattered around. That one I had a hard time rounding up because I only had like two articles, and I'm like, wait a second, they divided it up based on titles, and I had to go dig for that, which was fun. But yes, let's dive in. First and foremost, I think deserves some of the spotlight, Angela, Asgard's Assassin.
Angela.
New series coming up, helmed by... Jesus Christ, can I at least get the creators out before someone sighs? The fuck is wrong with you?
Because it's Angela. Come on.
Oh my god.
Are we gonna fucking see Spawn become like?
She can't.
Because Todd McFarlane doesn't own Spawn still.
Todd McFarlane didn't even sell her to Marvel. It was someone else.
Well, Neil Gaiman had the rights to her.
Yeah, exactly. It was Gaiman.
And there's no way you'll see Spawn.
Whatever. We're getting off topic.
I know, but anyway, that's way off topic.
The series is going to be written by Kieron Gillen and Marguerite Bennett and illustrated by Phil Jimenez and Stephanie Hahn.
Jimenez. God damn it.
Jimenez?
It's Jimenez. I know you're white as hell, but it's Jimenez.
Dude, I am just so white. How could you trust me with
I've
that?
I've seen other white people pronounce it Jimenez. Okay? I've seen other white...
No, he's not that white. He didn't say Agent Carter. You know, he said Agent Carter, so, you know.
I've seen other people pronounce...
Where's Agent Carter?
Pronounce his name properly. Continue
Welcome
on.
Back.
Continue
four crackers for the chowder. No.
Continue on.
Okay. They're hyping up Uncanny Avengers Annual... Uncanny X-Men number 1, which is going to be actually illustrated by none other than Andrea Sorrentino jumping ship from DC Marvel.
Who was doing the critically acclaimed Green Arrow book over there for a while.
And now she's going to be doing the X-Men.
Actually, Andrea Sorrentino is a man. I know this. Not a woman. It's a man.
Oh, okay. Yep. I didn't know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Don't you feel awkward now, huh?
A little bit, yeah. But I'm kind of more pissed at you for making me feel awkward, so, you know.
It's not my fault. You didn't do your research.
I don't really do research. I grab headlines. That's my job description.
Ooh.
Anyway, some more series. Let's see. Deathlock. It's going to be coming down the pipes in October, written by Edmondson. That's right. Let's see. The Superior Iron Man is moving to San Francisco and will encounter Daredevil.
Which we talked about last week.
And, of course, on top of the Doctor Strange movie news, Doctor Strange will be getting his own ongoing come sometime soon, I suppose. Oh,
God, hope for next year. Sorry. Sorry, fan base. It's been so long. The drought is almost over. Now I know
that
how to
sit. That is a joke there, but I ain't going to say it.
now I know how the city of Cleveland feels, and they will still continue to feel it even after LeBron James comes home.
Oh!
Sports reference. Continue on, Brad Ray.
Over in the Hulk, there's going to be a new mission statement going forward in that Bruce Banner decides pretty much that in order to help better the world, he needs to rid the world of all poisonous gamma energy, which includes all gamma-enhanced beings, such as himself, and She-Hulk, and Red Hulk, et cetera, et cetera.
Gamma Wars.
You know that was,
Man's armor wars weren't enough.
No, you know what that one reminded me of actually.
What
the time Superman and Batman tried to rid Kryptonite in the entire world?
That just reminds me of Superman IV: The Quest for Peace. He tried to rid the world.
Why would you want us to remember that? What is wrong with you, Deadpool?
I'm a masochist.
Jesus,
that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Also, who'd have thought that Wolverine dying didn't at all dispel his presence for comic books? He's still going to be around, of course, based on a couple of new series people are planning out. After the death of Wolverine, which will culminate in September, we're going to be getting a couple new series, a.k.a. Death of Wolverine, The Logan Legacy, which just sounds stupid, and Death of Wolverine, The Weapon X Program. Let's see. Weapon X program is scheduled to debut in December. It's going to be helmed by Charles Soule and Salvador.
I told you. Whatever.
It's Soule.
Soule. And Soul. Salvador Larroca.
is that where he's going now?
Yeah. That's where he's going. Let's see. And. Oh, yeah. Of course, how can we forget? These two little indie guys, Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña, are going to be working on something coming down the line called...
It's called Rage of Ultron.
It's an all-new original graphic novel. It's going to be put out by the pair, and it's going
to
be great.
And if you go to IGN or Comic Resources, you can see exclusive... preview art of Opeña drawing the Avengers and Ultron. It looks glorious.
And that's going to be coming down the pipes next April.
Right before the movie comes out. Perfect timing.
Also debuting in November under the auspices of Al Ewing and Luke Ross will be Captain America and the Mighty Avengers.
Yeah! Black Hat! All right, on the Black Avengers.
And Avengers World number 10 and 11 is going to feature Euroforce, led by Black Knight. And the Chinese team.
Wait, is Captain Britain going to be on that team?
No mention of him.
Why not?
Because Brian Braddock is just...
Where's my Captain Britain ongoing? Whatever.
Hey, you know, you're not the only one who misses him, okay? We all miss him. And that's it for comic news.
No, you forgot.
Huh?
They're doing Star Wars comics next year, damn it.
Oh, I don't give a... hold on, okay? If we're going to cover everything Marvel owns...
Okay, they're getting Marvel writers to write Marvel comics. I feel that that's something we should cover.
Fine, then you cover it. I'm done.
All right. There's going to be a Darth Vader series and a Leia series, and I believe another couple of series going on. But starting next year, no more Dark Horse Star Wars comics. It is now Star Wars comics... done by Marvel, like it was done back in the 70s or whatever, in that time that nobody remembers and cares.
80s.
Whatever. So, yeah, excited. Also, Terry Dodson and Mark Waid will be doing the Princess Leia one. I can't remember who's doing the Darth Vader one. Also, Mark Waid will be having a new ongoing series that basically brings the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into the Marvel Universe. And it turns out, Coulson is a fan of the entire Marvel Universe.
Naturally.
But not like a, but he's not, he doesn't love them all or hate, he doesn't respect them all or even like them all, but he knows about them, and that's why it'll basically be Marvel Team Up without calling it Marvel Team Up. So it'll basically be one and done, either one issue or two issues, I believe, from what I read. So yeah, look for that as well. So there you go.
Hold on, did we mention Uncanny X-Men Annual?
Yes, we briefly mentioned that. Right, and about that, I have one thing to say about that. If anybody remembers, in the preview art, there's the new girl. Her name's Tempest, right, Brian? Tempest?
Yes, Tempest.
Tempest sees some tentacle machinations.
Tripods! They're tripods!
I've seen enough hentai to know where this is going.
Okay, hey! Okay. Those things have showed up before. I've seen them before. At the end of Cap Reborn, Cap saw them and the world was in shit. Iron Man saw them when he was brain dead. Those things... Okay, time to be conspiracy Iggy now. Those things mean something. They have to mean something. They've appeared way too fucking much. The same fucking design to not mean something. I swear to God, they have to mean something. I'm pretty sure they're going to be the reason for the Marvel reboot. Watch.
Did we also mention about Amazing Spider-Man 3?
Oh, yeah. But that's a movie. We missed Entertainment News already, but we didn't really want to talk about that because nobody cares about Amazing Spider-Man because of stupidness.
Hold on. First of all, screw you. I liked Amazing Spider-Man 2, okay?
But nobody wants Sinister Six, the movie.
It's been just placed back to 2016. So, I mean, we're talking delayed, not canceled.
I hope it's canceled.
See, you're just hating. That's a different story.
I don't want a Sinister Six movie.
You're hating.
I can't hate on a movie I didn't see. I don't hate Amazing Spider-Man.
You're hating.
I'm hating.
You're trying to obfuscate by not mentioning it.
Oh, you
you're
mean
hating.
How you do with Guardians of the Galaxy all the time?
No, I bash it. I don't deny that it exists, though.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't gotten to that point yet. Either.
No, but why would I deny? I like hating things.
Either way,
this is how I live.
Either way,
Sony pushes Amazing Spider-Man back 2 years. Sinister Six placed in 2016.
We did talk about that. We just didn't go in depth because none of us wanted to talk about it that much.
No, you didn't want to talk about it.
You didn't say anything at the time during that time.
Because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, that's your fault.
Yes, it is.
Either
and
way.
I fully accept that.
Either way, so excited for Doctor Strange. And namely, the only thing that really got me excited comic news-wise was the Rage of Ultron original graphic novel done by my favorite creators featuring my favorite villain. So, yeah. Right before the movie comes out, too. So you bet your ass I'll be buying a copy of that. I'll probably buy 10 copies and just leave them at people's random doorsteps. So if you live in Austin, you may...
You get a really fucked up Easter Bunny or a Tooth Fairy.
Instead of candy, you get the Rage of Ultron.
What do you get if someone pisses you off, though? Do you still get the Rage of Ultron?
You get the Rage of Ultron by not having your door there anymore.
Oh, dear. Just like how Ultron fucked up Austin? Holy shit!
I still don't like that. Why would you kill? Why? I didn't do it.
Simple, because Austin...
Because you're fanboying annoys Ultron.
Austin is disposable. New York isn't disposable.
Wait,
that's all I can say.
Well, you guys get freaking wrecked once every 3 weeks anyways.
Exactly, but we keep coming back. Austin, eliminate.
And yet, no one ever wanted you to come back. I'd be happy if y'all just sunk into the motherfucking sea.
Well, you know, there is no Boston. That's all I got to say.
There is two of Boston.
There's no
Boston. We are real, okay?
There's no Boston.
We keep it real on the streets.
What are any comic news that has you interested or excited about coming out of Comic-Con?
I'm waiting for it, and it's not something that came out of SDCC. It's I think the next issue of Guardians actually has to do with what happened with
which will be our book
Richard Ryder.
Which will be
I want to read that just so I can see exactly how they resolve that whole thing. Mm-hmm. As for the rest of this, the Uncanny X-Men thing with Tempest, that looks interesting. You know, I want to see what's going on with that. I mean, I know those things aren't tripods. I saw, you know, big robotic body with like three things dangling beneath it. All automatically, I just thought tripod. You know, I can't help that. But no, that sounds interesting. Black Cap and the Coco Avengers. Avengers War. Ooh, I'll give that a look-see because I'm trying to get back into Coco Avengers, and
is
kind
it
of struggle.
All black team?
Not anymore.
Not entirely black, but it's like 75%.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't
hear anybody talk about that book.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
Is it bad, or is it just?
No, it's Coco Avengers.
Oh, okay.
There's not a lily white amongst
them.
No offense,
supporting
people
it. Not you.
No, I'll just say this: what we're talking about, characters who are powerful, but they're not like A-list.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're talking Cage, Spectrum, the
Wait,
new
Spectrum's
Power Kid.
In that book?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Wow.
No, not Doctor.
No, I know that. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's
her.
That's not a surprise.
She's in this White Tiger and Blue Marvel.
I thought White Tiger was the Tina.
She is.
Okay, I was like, when did she get? When she could have turned black?
Didn't she like turn evil and shit in Shadowland and like
a lot of things happen in Shadowland that we want to forget.
Yeah, it's true. Never mind. I'm sorry, bro.
I've already retconned the bat out of my head. So.
But all I'm saying is, it's filled with characters that, you know, nobody's using, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't really care
sounds
a
like,
lot.
Sounds like Mighty Avengers when I read it. Which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine if you're into that, if you like those characters. I have no interest in any of them.
The reason why they're putting freaking Falcon on that is because, well,
Still
they
boost.
Want to... Well, yeah, exactly. You know, they want to try and boost him as Cap, boost them as a book, legitimize them as an Avengers team.
Yeah. I wonder if Falcon's going to be on the Uncanny Avengers, because Cap leads that team. Was one of, not the lead. He doesn't lead the team. Havoc leads that team, but Cap's one of the.
Havoc doesn't lead shit. He's
well, because
poor
Cap
leader.
Keeps undermining him. Maybe he won't now that Steve is out of the picture. Who knows?
No, actually, what I want to see is how Falcon as Cap deals with Tony.
Yeah, well,
that I think would be the more interesting.
Yeah, well,
development.
All more things to happen come November when he officially dons the mask.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. I still look at him as
Falcon
getting the yes, but I'm just really him. I don't know. I guess I would have been happier if they introduced a character rather than just kind of plucked him and hey, what do you think, Sam? And
he's an established black man. That's why they picked him. Which is fine. I like Sam.
Strong, independent black man. Don't mean no.
Well, anyway. There was also, although I didn't stick around for it because it's women. There was a Women of Marvel panel that was supposed
sexist.
To release.
Yeah, which I didn't read it, but tread carefully, dudes.
I'm just saying, there was a panel there to address issues, and Kelly DeConnick. I did not know that Kelly Sue DeConnick was married to Matt Fraction. Did not know that.
I thought I might have told you and you just forgot.
Or ignored it, which is entirely possible.
Yeah, but,
I don't deny that at all.
Yeah.
But it's still in all. And, you know, she showed up and she you know,
Marjorie
doing
Lou
nice
was
Facebook-y
all,
fan things on during their thing. But
yeah, Marjorie Liu was also there. She was the writer of
who?
Marjorie Liu.
She was
She's
the writer
an amazing
of,
person.
She was the writer of X-23 and
read it.
Astonishing
X-Men for a long time. And,
didn't read it.
Well, she writes a lot of the. She's a novelist too, as well. So that's where she makes her money.
Okay, but okay, fine.
She,
you know,
she wrote.
I'm just saying that you know there was a Women of X-Men panel that I hope was successful. I didn't stick around for.
I hope
well, like
too.
Most of this stuff, I didn't stick around for.
I heard horror stories. Not the panel, but like
what
they
ran out of tampons. Oh,
God, that's what was hoping to avoid. No, but like the stories that like there with some of the interactions they had to go through.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just like not all of them were, but it's just like Jesus Christ, you know? Like, I know I'm acting oblivious to it because I am oblivious to it because I don't see that shit anywhere. Like maybe it's because I don't pay attention, but like I don't ever see it, so it's kind of hard for me to. I don't know.
None of us are on the inside, so, you know, let's get that out the way.
Yeah.
I also, you know, I think I speak for all of us in saying that nobody who has a desire to, you know, be successful and contribute to the comics forum and the medium should have to put up with any bullshit like that. Because come on, you know? I mean, really. That being said, I don't really care because it's women.
Hey, more women ongoing series is what I say.
Yeah. Send any and all complaints to Taser. I live in New York City.
Yeah, pretty much. John, you've been silent.
I heard there's really not much to look for. And then when you said Angela, I kind of went cross-eyed.
Why do you hate the Spawn legacy so much?
Because she's not,
that
not
I,
a...
It's not that I don't hate it. I enjoyed Spawn back in the day. Don't
now
get me wrong.
Now I have to cosplay as Spawn and kick your ass at the convention we go to. You don't have to do that, John. Don't be
then I'd have to cosplay as Kamen Rider and kick your butt, too. But that's beside the point.
Oh, Spawn beats Kamen Rider Rider
Tick!
Are you going to be Japanese and shout out your attack names every time you move?
That would be awesome, and I would fully support that while doing it quietly.
But yeah, really, there's not much other than maybe seeing Cap Falcon join the Coco Avengers would make me read it. The Superior Iron Man, I'm just like, okay, really going to make Tony Stark an even bigger douche and just make it a new title?
Yeah.
I mean, there and then it's just. And then to kind of, then the whole thing with Thor, giving up the deal and becoming female, that didn't bother me. Actually, it didn't. I was just like, okay, it'll be new.
Chris Hemsworth thought it would be his Oscar moment because of that.
Yeah, I could see that. He goes to Thailand and, becomes a lady boy.
I'm smooth down there now.
He's smooth everywhere else.
Hey! But he keeps the hair. Women love him. Now they love him and Loki.
I swear to God, when I saw Thor, the Dark World, that scene, like that one of those first scenes where you see him shirtless, I swear to God, I heard women go, oh. I'm like,
yeah,
I get
in
it.
My theater.
I get it. Yeah. He's fit.
But, I'm not going to say I'm in.
And it happens either way.
Hey, there it
so,
goes.
Right. Let's just go back to you real quick while John takes care of business.
Oh yes, sir. I'm super excited for Remender and Opeña. It's gonna be awesome, and I don't even care that it's Ultron. I don't even care. Let's see. The thing with the Coco Avengers, always fun to laugh at. But I doubt I'll be picking up the actual series. So.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I'm only reading one Avengers series, and that's Uncanny. I don't really.
I'm reading like four.
Yeah,
New Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, Avengers World, and
You don't have to read Avengers World. I don't know why you're reading.
I'd like to though.
Oh well,
it's a fun little series, and the last issue had some fucking fucked up time travel implications, but otherwise wasn't that bad.
Whatever. All right, so there you go.
Don't whatever. Don't patronize.
Go.
Yeah, there's not really much to say on the new stuff that I've heard. I don't want to try to be a negative jackass on it, until I see more that comes out. And about the only title I'm really interested in seeing is probably be Cap when Falcon takes over, and I'll just have to go from there.
All right, what? I'm gonna read Angela Asgard Assassin. I'm gonna read that.
Same here.
You would.
well, I mean, okay. Have they revealed who her mother is? Did they reveal that yet?
She doesn't really have a mother per se. Oh, actually, she does, but she doesn't.
Wait,
kind of weird.
Did she not come out of her uterus?
No. She has a mother, but she's claimed by these people who don't really have a mother. It's an entirely female society.
Amazons.
Pretty much, yeah. Only they're angels instead of Amazons.
So they're angel.
So they're Valkyrie.
Yeah.
No. They explicitly say angel like three times in the book. It's angel.
Are you serious?
I am dead.
Is it connected to Asgard?
It is the quote unquote 10th realm, a fabled lost myth from before.
Wait. Wow. This really made some bullshit.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
That is horrible bullshit.
Essentially, what it is that during a war between Asgard and the 10th realm.
By now.
What?
You'd think they would have found it by now.
Well, see, what happened was there was a...
That's my reaction to anything. I think they would have found that by now, but I guess...
That's a stupid reaction.
This coincidentally, at this given time, now we find it because...
No, no. Well, think about it. Remember, Odin erased all traces of his older brother, the Viper.
Oh, yeah.
Erased all traces of that. Nobody knew about him until he came back. So.
That's true.
Not only that,
that's...
but after a war between the 10th realm and Asgard, he erased all traces of Angela and this 10th realm. So nobody knew his existence.
Exactly.
And Thor only went looking because of Uatu's eye going boom and revealing
Odin
all
is secrets. Officially the Zatanna of the Marvel Universe, just mind-wiping everybody.
More like a fucking Dini.
Oh, God, that is horrible.
Yeah, well, he kind of is. He's a dick.
As long as he doesn't wear his fishnets, that's all I care.
Hey! No. Well, you never know. Odin might be sexy.
Oh, but funny story, though. I'm pretty sure, based on the wording of the last issue, Angela is older than Thor.
How is that possible?
She was the firstborn. Yeah.
So she is the heir to the throne of Asgard.
Pretty much, yeah.
Holy shit.
Wow. That's something.
Wow.
That's continuity going boom.
Also, her mother's not Frigga, though.
Her mother is the new, the All Mother now, whoever she is in the book. I'm pretty sure.
So Thor.
The one who's commissioning Loki to run around like a little asshole and pull stunts and shit.
Is that what that book has about?
Loki, Agent of Asgard, yeah.
You know, I never hear anybody talk about that book.
Well, my favorite part of the Thor and the Angela thing, the most recent issue, was that she ducked out on a mission with the Guardians to go chase after whatever was calling her back to Asgard. And she steals their ride and teaches them in the middle of a firefight to go and check this shit out, which I thought was just fucking hilarious.
Hey, it involved home, and you respond to family. When family calls, you must answer.
Yeah, well, the Angel Queen's kind of a cunt, so I'm not really sure why you would respond to that.
I don't know. It's just... Well, I guess she won't be in Guardians of the Galaxy anymore, right?
Depends on... actually, yeah, based on where she's going from here after Original Sin, I would say so, yeah. Okay. I think she's leaving the book.
All right, well, that's good.
Which is sad, because her and Gamora had a little thing going on, which is just really awful.
Gamora could always show up, I guess.
What's the female version of a bromance? Whatever that is, Gamora and Angela had it.
Sisterhood?
Oh, no, BFFs. BFFs.
Okay, yeah, they're BFFs then.
Yeah.
Bloody sword swinging.
Don't mean to patronize, BFFs. But that's what it is. Because fromance.
Bloody female fighters.
You know what? That works.
Or sisters in arms.
Yeah, that works too.
Soul sisters?
Go. Soul sisters.
Go. Soul sisters. No, I'm just kidding.
Go.
I think we had a different book to review, though.
Yes. So let's go on. That's enough Comic-Con news. Let us know what has you excited or disappointed or outright just meh about San Diego Comic-Con. There was a shit ton of announcements. Are you excited for Star Wars comics as much as I am? I'm not really excited.
Nope.
I don't really care. Fuck the expanded universe.
Damn straight, Skippy.
High five.
But that's not what this is.
No,
this
I know.
This is actually in continuity.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I'm just saying that in general.
Way to go, Disney. You know,
rub it. Just twist that knife.
I say that to Disney without any trace of sarcasm.
25 years of storytelling. God!
It doesn't matter. Suck it. Suck
not
it
even
hard.
25, what? 30-something years of storytelling?
Yep.
Yeah, fuck it.
It's like Crisis on Infinite Earths for Star Wars.
Yeah, for me. Exactly.
Like, fuck you, Timothy Zahn. You know, that kind of thing.
Timothy Zahn? Who's that guy?
He wrote the first trilogy that started the whole expanded universe.
Yeah, now I know who to hate.
The Thrawn. The
all
Thrawn.
Right.
Although, Dan actually, that was a good trilogy.
No, shut up.
Yeah,
no,
it was.
Shut up. If it's bad. In the expanded universe, it's not good. Anyways, so moving on. Moving
Avengers!
On.
Avengers! Expand your universe. Come on.
Our book of the week, which is
to
the Avengers.
The World of Tomorrow!
Which is the Avengers 100th Anniversary Special, which if you don't know, we review. I believe it was Brian or Taser who reviewed the X-Men one a while back.
I don't think we officially reviewed that one. Taser reviewed the Spider-Man one.
Yeah, the Spider-Man one. We've talked about the... Okay, so basically what Marvel's been doing, and there's a Guardians of the Galaxy one coming out this Friday, written this Wednesday.
Taser, you better review that fucking book.
No, we're not reviewing books next week.
Well, we can still pick from last week's thing.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, see if I do it.
Well, it's written by Ron Mars. It's written by Ron Mars. So there you go.
Which means nothing to me.
Yeah, it does. Either way, it's... If you don't remember from last time Taser reviewed Spider-Man 100th Anniversary, is that these are basically is if like it's 100 years from Marvel's anniversary. So what was it like 50 more years or something?
Yeah, 25 because we're celebrating the 75th.
Yes, 25 more years. This would basically be a book 25 done 25 years from now. And the reason I picked this as a book of the week is done by James Stokoe, who many of you have anybody who's listening to this. Depending on the audience who doesn't know who this guy is, and that's fine. He hasn't done anything big. This is like his first real big time work. Obviously, it's just a one side issue, and he does everything. He does story art. He did the story art. He even did the cover. And your Avengers are Rogue, Doctor Strange in a new body, and Beta Ray Bill. riding what looks to be a flying pyramid, and basically they are fighting off a Moloid invasion being done by Moman the Third. Moman the Third, Sovereign Lord of Subterranea. And the story sort of, just like some, like it sort of drops you in, references, apparently there was a gender war, the Badoon Empire attacked.
Screwed over the Earth,
yeah,
big time.
Yellowstone National Park is...
America.
America.
North America is gone.
Yeah, it's in the negative zone. And Captain America is in the negative zone looking for it.
He's searching for our continent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. which I want to read that.
That does sound kind of interesting. Just one man looking for what? 300 some odd million people.
So, we should just do like a little flip book of Cap just drifting through shit.
So I picked this book as the book.
Sharon, where are you?
Because, well, she's dead.
America!
I find
where
it
are you, America? Hold on. 25 years from now, she'll be alive again. Come on now.
Well, she could also be dead again by this point, too, to be fair.
No one dies for good.
Well, Uncle Ben hasn't come back. I'm just saying.
Okay, and also interesting that Cap still looks the same age as he does 25 years from now. Super Soldier Serum.
They're not going to age. Come on.
Well, this is hypothetical. So
look, this Doctor Strange. I don't know if this Doctor Strange has a new body or if he just has a tan and a mohawk.
I think it's a new body.
They don't say that though.
That's what I'm gathering. It's a new body.
I'm just saying he's just got a mohawk and a tan.
Well, it's also
he's chilling.
Well, whatever. but the like I was saying, yeah. The reason I picked this as the book of the week is because of the art. And I will say this is for anybody to go to your comic shop, go look for the Avengers 100th anniversary special, and look at the first double spread of the Avengers in their triangle ship flying over, I believe what was formerly Manhattan, and you see the Iron Stark Tower, but this time imbued with the Iron Man armor, and just look at the detail. Just look at everything. It just blows my mind, and he doesn't skim on it on any single page. And what I thought about the issue itself is that it was basically a throwback to like a 70s Marvel comic, very goofy, very not so heavy-handed. A lot of exposition dialogue, some great action sequences. But yeah, that's what I thought it was. Best part of the issue, though, was Tony Stark's head, or not head, his brain, operating the iron, operating Stark Tower from afar, or inside rather. But so the end of the issue, they're trying to figure out how to stop this Moloid invasion. So Doctor Strange comes up with a solution to go over Yellowstone National Park, or what was formerly Yellowstone National Park, and basically create their own new Subterranea, so that way they can live in peace and not fight them anymore.
So we put them on reservations.
And well, mm-hmm. they gave them what we wanted. So yeah, I really like
you this. Gave them a portion of America where they could live. That is now an ocean.
To be fair, there was no America there. I mean, they wanted a new home because their other home got wrecked. So yeah, they got it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what you call white guilt. Anyways, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. And most of the fun comes from the art, though. And that I want this man, and I want anybody, this man, to get more work at Marvel.
He just said that he wants that man. I'm just saying. He, you know, just coming out the closet.
Ned, Freud? That was the psychiatrist, right? Sigmund Freud?
Sigmund Freud, yep. Yeah.
Needless to say, I give it a 4 out of 5. It was a very entertaining issue. The biggest aspect of it comes from the art, and I love the art. Simple. Detail reminds me of Art Adams. It reminds me of Art Adams mainly, but with even more detail. So there you go. Taser, you're the opposition to me. You take it away.
I did not enjoy the art with this. I thought the story was okay. The art did not move me as it did you. Quite the opposite. Although I saw a bit more Frazetta in there, you know, a bit more Frazetta than Art Adams. Although I understand why you would point that out, you know, point him out rather. I thought it was interesting how he had BRB, Rogue, and Doctor Strange flying around in that freaking pyramid, just kind of zoom, zoom, zoom. Let's go, you know, check out Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia, wherever the hell they were, and to see that big, obnoxious, you know, Tony Stark, and I've said this before, Tony Stark is just becoming way too obnoxious for his own good. In this storyline, Stark has this big-ass building that's basically in the shape of, like, a sitting version of, I think, what was it, his Mark 7 armor? You know, and he's just a brain in a jar, you know? And he apparently still has, you know, it's him, you know, it has his thoughts, but come time for, you know, action, things need to be mobilized or what have you, his dialogue changes to that of somebody who's just dispensing information, somewhat robotic, you know, which I thought that was an interesting switch that he pulls off. And then, you know, when the Morlords attack, and we're talking Doctor Strange, Betty Bill, and Rogue. And I'm guessing Rogue is back to her Miss Marvel power levels because she was flying, you know, but we're talking Beta Ray Bill is, we're talking Thor equal, you know, we're talking the guy who kind of levels the playing field whenever something happens. So for them to go, hey, Tony, we could use some help, and it's just a bunch of Moloids. You've got to be freaking kidding me. You know, I was kind of waiting for him to, like, lightning strike. That's all it is. You know, that's all it takes. But
yeah, I thought they were super sensitive to, like, light and shit. And,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Where was that, you know?
But, you know, well, we're also talking, this might be a new breed of Moloids, because we are dealing with, what was it, Mole Man the Third.
Yes. So Mole
with
Man
his Groucho Marx looking face and shit.
Oh, that tickled me. I give credit for him having Doc Strange solve the problem the way that he did, you know, and just having Mole, you know, Mole 3 just kind of mollified by actually having a home, you know, created for him, you know, so it kind of removes all aggression, and therefore nobody has to get beat up. But just kind of the idea that she actually called to Tony, and Tony sent out these little robotic head drones. Like, are you kidding me? This is fucking Beta Ray Bill. This dude, this is like having a Green Lantern who is simply hitting one by one by one by one, rather than, you know, Omni-Blast, you know, we're talking a guy who is underutilized in this book. That annoyed me. The banter between the three of them, that seemed adequate. You know, I didn't have any real problems with it. The most of my issues with this really came from the art. The art bugged me. It felt like, and I said this offline, it felt like some creator-owned, you know, old-school Dark Horse book, you know, it wasn't clean. It was really fleshy and organic, and I it just did not work for me. And the way it ends off with Cap, you know, running through the negative zone, going, "I will find you, I will find you, whoever, you know, whoever." Yeah, I'm guessing all of America.
Pretty much. He's looking for a continent.
Yeah, exactly. I like Iggy said, I kind of do want to read that. That sounds like an interesting book in and of itself. You know, at least like a miniseries. Captain America in Search of America. There you go. There's the title. Captain America in Search of. So I have no love for the art. The story was okay. I don't think this is a must pick up, though. Not at all. I'd probably give this a pass. It's really not worth it. I guess I'd give this 2.1 Warriors out of 5.
Blasphemy. John, what did you think of the issue?
I'm not gonna say I was negative on it, but I had to. There were some nitpicks I had. Like Taser said, you know, Beta Ray Bill is like on Thor's level equally, and he was having problems with the Mulewoods. Now, granted, we're dealing with 100-year, you know, 100th anniversary. Who knows how many genetic modifications have been done by, you know, the Mole Man, the third, the second, whatever, and you know, could be they're just, you know, they're gonna be like, hey, we're, you know, WWE rejects, hey. But
mean the NXT group or
well, just WWE in general?
Okay.
What was that?
NXT, wasn't that the group that like stormed the ring and tore up the?
No, that was.
I thought that was the NWO.
No, that was also NWO,
that was the Nexus.
That was Nexus. Yeah.
But we're talking rejects, and I'm NXT. Were all rejects, weren't they?
They could be saying
that what the NWO was.
Yeah,
it could be TNA Impact.
Rejects were no. NWO was
Hogan. Hogan wasn't a
rejects. Yeah, like I said, rejects.
Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, Hogan being down south in like Southern wrestling, that was definitely a reject situation.
Hey, he was making over like $100 million a year.
Well, yeah, but everyone hated him because he was from the north. He was from Titan Sports.
Everybody
hated
him because they got tired of his shtick. That's why people hated him.
John Cena nowadays. They hated him
because he was. Let's not interrupt John. John, continue.
But anyway, the art was weird. I was not really expecting that, but weird. No, just let me finish. That does not mean it was bad. I could totally see this guy doing a Doctor Strange title.
That would make it would, so
it would really fit. It would fit Doctor Strange solo title better than I would see him doing an Avengers or anything like that. Seeing Rogue flying again was kind of cool, and seeing Doctor Strange with Mohawk looking like Fu Man Mohawk Chew, or whatever you want to call it. He looked cool. I will say that. and then seeing Cap floating off in the negative zone going, I need to find America. I will find America. You know, I was like you guys, that would have been an interesting, that'd be an interesting story to read to see what, find out what happened to us after we apparently got bandooned off the planet. And, but ching. And, I'll give it, since this is the only anniversary issue I've read, I've heard negative stuff about the other ones that have come out so far. I'll give it about 2.5, is because it was not something that I wasn't really quite sure what to expect from it. And, you know, it just, like I said, the art would have, had it been a different artist, I probably would have given it a little higher. But the gentleman, I would love to see this guy do a Doctor Strange solo or mini. It would be cool. Other than that, that's about all I can say. So,
Bri, you're my only hope. Please say something positive about this goddamn book.
I really enjoyed this issue, okay? Never mind the fact that the Avengers are... Well, okay, I think it was an interesting choice to take it with only 3 people, saying that, you know, of course, everyone else was sucked up into the negative.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. Look at how much he had to draw. That's why he only chose 3 people.
Yeah, no shit. And it's an interesting lineup. A totally unknown Doctor Strange, Beta Ray Bill, and Rogue of all X-Men people. And also, as I stated before, we started recording, Disembodied Brain of Tony Stark is probably my favorite character. The quip, I'd give my frontal lobe for a throat and a glass of scotch, just absolutely tickled me. You know?
Yeah, I laughed on that one.
Yeah. The Mole Man with his Groucho Marx looking face and his whole, you know, routine of I'm going to conquer this, da 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 da. It's entertaining as hell, you know. I just thought it was funny the way everything worked out, where they just made a new Subterranea and made peace with him instead. Because, you know, because they couldn't just kill a bunch of Moloids and nobody would blanket it, you know.
Well, they're heroes. They're the Avengers.
I know. But still, they could have easily just wiped them all out. Not even Beta Ray Bill. Doctor Strange, of all people. I mean, come on.
Yeah, quite so.
That being said, however,
it's easy to kill.
I enjoyed the ending. It was a twist I did not see coming. And it warmed my heart a little bit that he actually was compassionate for a change instead of just wiping out all the Mole Boys.
Which is exactly what I would have done. Hammer strike.
The thing with Cat felt really wickedly out of place. You could have totally bypassed that and missed nothing from the issue. Like, we could have just totally just zipped on by.
No, no. Think about it. It's an Avengers issue. You have to have something Cap in an Avengers issue.
Really? We had to have Cap flying by a giant fucking watermelon and a
yes.
bunch of Death Star looking things?
Look, as
really?
Long as it wasn't
it
Sam Wilson
cool.
Cap slicing open that watermelon and serving slices of watermelon.
I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
It looked cool, didn't it? That's all that matters.
I didn't say it. And this guy...
No, but I will.
The welfare checks.
And this gentleman who did the issue, James Stoko. Is that how you pronounce it?
Stoko, yes.
Stoko. All right. By the way, I don't know if any of y'all noticed, but the dude wrote his own obituary at the opening page.
Yeah,
that was hilarious. That was funny.
I thought he did a great job with this. The writing was kind of second to me because I honestly couldn't get past the art, just how it... But this wasn't a bad thing. I mean, it was sort of distracting, but it was distracting.
Is this where my indie cred comes out and it's just too much?
Just finish, please.
I'm just asking.
Shut up. Okay, look, I'm giving it a good review here, okay? Just let me finish it, then you can go on your indie cred, okay? I liked the issue. The art itself kept my attention throughout. It was different, you know. I won't shy away from the fact that it looked a little bit off at times, but other than for the most part, it came across as really interesting. You know, I actually really enjoyed it. It felt like something almost out of heavy metal, you know, the really stylized, almost kind of, you know, it was just really interesting to me, and I actually kind of liked it. So I will not be bashing the art for this issue like some other people, but. Writing was good, art was good, I enjoyed the little twist ending, and Rogers floating through space into giant watermelons and such was tickled me a little bit. So, I actually really liked it. Give it a... I'm trying to debate. I think we'll give it a 3.75 out of 5, if only because the art was of the caliber where you either loved it or hated it. I don't really think there was a lot of in-between for it. So... If you didn't like it, it was very distracting. I could definitely see that happening, and it was an acquired taste. So if you didn't like the art, I can't fault you for it. But at the same time, I think if you did like it, you got something really interesting out of the story. So that's my 2 cents.
Is my indie showing?
Well, no, not yet. Whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. I love the art. And I think I'm surprised. I thought y'all would like it a lot more.
No, the art was interesting. I mean, you know, it was just
interesting. It wasn't. It was,
yeah,
it wasn't good.
Like,
it's not interesting.
It, you know,
it's look.
It wasn't
at,
like
look. Look at that detail in that first double page spread, man. Come on,
yeah,
you don't get that anymore.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was really kind of. It had a weird vibe to it, you know.
I think that's because of the coloring choice he went, the palette he went with.
Yeah,
I think that was more than else than the actual line art. I mean, just look at that. I'm just saying, like, that's like, so if you're as a comic fan and you don't look at that double page spread and just go, wow, like, that's awesome. Or even like individual panels, look at minute things in the background. It's just everything feels alive for it, you know. I hope he gets more work. You know, I don't know if he wants to or not, but you know, anything he does, I will buy it. He's one of those creators now for me.
If he does,
well,
if he does Doctor Strange, I will.
Echo.
Sorry.
Nah, no worries, man. No, I'll say this. While the art didn't work that great for me, I didn't mind the story all that much. You know, I thought the story was okay. I liked the Cap thing more than I liked the whole tan Doctor Strange and the trio zooming around freaking the eastern part of the planet. But I think there's some promise there with his writing. You know, I'll say that.
Okay.
It's just the art that really just kind of threw me off. So if he had an artist, you know, and he focused on the story, then I could probably, you know, I warm up to his work.
No.
Also, it could also, if he had like a good inker, because like you have some artists whose art looks one way if they do their own stuff, but if they pair it up with a good inker, it might help bring it alive and might make it pop for me. Like,
personally, I don't think he needs any of that. I think he does everything fine by himself.
I'll just say there have been artists or guys that actually did. There's at least one out. Damn it! What's the guy who used to do? Okay. It's gonna take me too long to think of the name. But there's an artist out there. He did a lot of stuff for DC, who had an inker when he did Legion of Superheroes, and then when he started doing his own stuff, I didn't really like his art as much.
No, that's you know? That's
you're talking about Keith Giffen.
Thank you, Giffen.
No, I mean that's true. What you're saying is extremely true.
So that might be it. If he had like a good inker,
in some people's eyes, and this is just a general comment, not necessarily on this guy himself. Some inkers can like on a really great artist, if you bring in the wrong inker, or an inker who or a different kind of style inker, the art could look completely different and not nearly as good as you want it to be. That's all.
I can agree with that too. That's true.
I've seen that happen where I think Doug Monkey, I think when he was doing Green Lantern, and they had like 7 inkers on him at once, and that sounded dirty.
Well, it's Monkey. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know, Monkey did he did Major Bummer, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying his art looked like whenever that did happen, when it wasn't just him or another person inking him, you could tell, and it was completely different. It was distracting. That's just a general comment, though. That's true with any inker. You have to pair up the right guy with the right artist.
But with that, it just depends on how the art works for you. See, for you, it worked. For me, it didn't.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Well, that is why art is completely subjective.
Right. Well, so's the writing.
True.
You know, stories might work and, you know, might not work.
Absolutely.
But
I know some people who don't like Watchmen, and I call them heathens every time I see them. I just whisper, hey, come here, give me a hug. Heathen.
You don't know comics!
Anyways, Brian, I understand that you're the only person who had an individual review this time.
Yes, I did. It was mostly just to enlighten the masses, I suppose. It was Amazing Spider-Man, #4. The Original Sin Fallout issue.
Is this actually an Original Sin tie-in?
Yeah, it actually is.
Okay.
They actually, let me tell you this. Okay.
Is Spider-Man secretly related to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Will you just let me finish?
Which are going to kick the asses of Guardians of the Galaxy?
And, no, Taser and Iggy, that's Daredevil. Okay, not Spider-Man.
True about Daredevil. I will say that. That is true.
So, story starts off in at Parker Industries, where last issue...
Wait, what?
Peter made it to, what?
Parker Industries? What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, that's right. I forgot you didn't read any of Spidey-Ock. While Otto was in Peter's body, he established Parker Industries, which is a huge science collective where he builds things.
How come I don't hear about this? Whatever.
So anyway, over at Parker Industries, with Peter taking the reins now, he's made his mission statement to, quote, cure all of the villains that have been created by or in as a result of Spider-Man. And so basically he's attempting to find a cure for Electro while still balancing Avengers duties and things
you
like that.
He would have figured that out by now.
You'd think so. But he has an entire lab of bright people working for him now, so he figures now it's the best time to get at
it. Wait, he's a boss?
No, he is the boss. He runs
that's what
the whole
saying.
Thing.
He's the boss.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's Parker Industries.
That's I know, but
hey, Spidey-Ock takes charge, man.
I know, but this is Peter Parker now. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah, he's kind of
back in charge.
Well, that's the thing. He's fumbling to keep up. I mean, he can't keep half the projects that Otto started before he was wiped out. So he has to shift focus into something he can manage, which is the whole thing about curing all the villains that have been created in Spider-Man's wake. So basically, Peter gets called away to deal with an Avengers thing, which turns out to be the orb incident in the middle of New York City. And at first, Peter's all excited because this means people are talking to him again, and they don't think he's an asshole for being Spidey-Ock. And then, as happens, as per usual, the big eyeball goes boom, and all of a sudden, Peter's mind is flooded with the original sin he is, in on. And it turns out that the radioactive spider that bit Peter also bit someone else in his class while he was there at the science building, I suppose. A girl named Cindy Moon, as it turns out.
I was going to say Cindy Lauper.
No, no. She's approached by a man who, Iggy, I don't know him off the bat, but I figure you might. A man named Ezekiel. Does that make any, you know?
Oh, wait. Is he an old dude?
Yeah, he is.
Is he related to Hezekiah?
How is he alive?
He's not. It's a flashback.
Okay.
It shows that after she was bitten by the spider, Ezekiel approached the family and took Cindy away to help her control her powers and sort of protect her, as it were. And then through a series of flashbacks, we're shown that her powers are growing too fast for him to predict, and she is locked away inside of a bunker pretty much for the rest of her life.
No wonder Moreland didn't go after her.
So wait a second. What kind of power? Did they show what kind of power she has?
She has organic web shooters, unlike Peter Parker. She actually has the organic thing going on. And as it's shown later in the issue, her spider sense is much more attuned and faster than Peter's is. But
naturally.
But Peter is stronger than she is.
Naturally.
So, anyway, Peter gets this blast.
Is that a male-female thing? I feel like that's a male-female
thing. I honestly don't know. I knew I figured they would have balanced it out some way, but I didn't predict that exactly.
Yeah, she's faster and he's stronger.
Yeah, that's a male-female thing.
Okay. So he heads off to one of Ezekiel's old hideouts, wherein he finds an automated message that warns him about, you know, not interfering in his business, et cetera, et cetera. And Peter smashes the screen and doesn't listen to him. Of course, because, you know, why would Peter do anything that was right for him? So he picks the passcode into the bunker door, and he frees Cindy Moon because, you know, she's been locked in there for a pretty long time. And she's freaking out the whole time, telling him not to because, you know, they didn't tell you what would happen. You can't know. And sure enough, it boils down to this. If you open that door, Moreland will come. Moreland? Well, Moreland's dead, sweetie. And he cracks the door and he lets her out. And she flips out saying, you've killed us all. You're an idiot. How could you have done such a thing? And Peter's like, okay, look, calm down. And this is where we get the taste of her Spider-Sense being faster than his, where she's actually landed in some blows on Peter, and he's just kind of stumbling and stuff. And so Peter catches her off guard when he tells her, oh, hey, by the way, Moreland's dead, so he's gone, you know?
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Yeah.
She didn't know that, so of course she's super excited. She flees the building, and she I missed something. What's that? Oh, yeah, that's the part where Moreland is there sitting in a room, and he suddenly senses her being freed, and he refers to her as the Spider Bride.
Yeah, he's the villain of the Spider-Verse.
Yes, he is the villain of Spider-Verse.
Which I never thought we would see that JMS creation come back at all.
So he's pursuing her now as the quote-unquote Spider Bride. You know, whatever. Mm. Oh, but wait. You're going to love this, okay? Uh-huh. So she's out free in New York City, swinging around, doing her thing, but she's doing it in a tank top and, like, shorts, cut-off shorts. And Peter's like, hey, look, if you're going to be swimming around like that, you're going to need a costume. Hair? Black.
Okay.
So the costume, as it turns out, is basically her just covering herself in webbing, and it's sort of like a ninja mystique-looking thing. You know, she's got, like, the half face mask covering her nose and mouth, and she's got the eyes and the hair flowing and stuff, and she's just covered in webbing, which is really dirty under other implications. But that's neither here nor there. So she demands that while in costume, she be referred to as Silk. So, yeah. It's a Silk.
I can already feel the puns.
Cindy Moon, a.k.a. Silk. Oh, we'll get to that in a minute, don't you worry. So basically, what we learn is that she's been just watching videos of Peter Parker doing his crime-fighting thing.
In the creepy way, or the fan way?
In the way that Ezekiel's been supplying her with these in order for her to study his movements and his acrobatic skills and things like that.
Okay.
And so she's hastily trying out all these different moves, and, you know, turns out she's still operating faster than Peter with her spider sense and all that, but, you know, what have you. And we cut to Parker Industries, wherein a vengeful Black Cat is currently stealing all the plans for the high-tech devices that Peter cannot produce that Otto Octavius set out to build, but unfortunately, you know, Peter just can't cope with because he's not that much of a genius, apparently. And Black Cat is lamenting that despite the fact that she can steal all of his life's work, she can't really do anything with it because she's not smart enough to interpret it or build it. And that exact...
I can make it mine, but I don't know what to do with it.
Is she still mad? I mean, granted, she deserves to be mad, but is she mad?
Dude, she went out of her way to recruit Electro to fuck with Spider-Man last issue.
I hate that.
Yeah, well.
I love their sexual relationship.
Brace yourself.
Wait. What did she offer Electro to get him to go after Spider-Man? Oh,
you know what she probably offered him.
Revenge on Spider-Man. That was about it.
You're telling me she didn't offer some of that pie?
Not on the page. No, she might have offered it after the fact.
It's Black Cat. She uses her sexuality to get what she wants.
But was Black Cat also helping him in the fight?
Electro?
Yes.
No, she ambushed Peter after he dealt with Electro.
Okay, so did... So we know. I know why she has a problem with Peter, and Peter wouldn't have a clue. Did she hit Peter to what had happened, or...
Peter revealed to her that it was Doc Ock inside his mind, and her eloquent response was, quote, "I don't care," with a slug to the face.
Yeah, end quote. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I figured that.
So,
that makes all the sense.
Where was I?
Well, to be fair, like, at that point, I wouldn't give a shit either. You're the guy who's here, so I'm going to hit you anyways.
Yeah, well, women, right?
Yeah, but that's just still not – that's a fight she doesn't win regardless. I'm sorry.
Unless Peter lets her win.
She's a thief. She operates best in stealth, but that's not the point.
No.
She's stealing all these plans, and at that exact moment where she's lamenting she's not smart enough to use any of this shit, one of Peter's scientists, Sajani, who is actually a very competent genius, is storming out because she's sick of Peter and his bullshit and his disappearing acts and his antics, and she is quitting Parker Industries. And Black Cat literally grabs her, puts a hand over her mouth, and says, "Oh, I couldn't have timed that better if I tried. Lucky me." And we cut right back to Peter Parker swinging around with Cindy. And it turns out that the entire time she's been swinging around New York and shit, she's been heading to her old family home. And turns out that they're not there anymore. They moved, and she has no idea where they are, if they're still alive. You know? She's lamenting how the spider bite changed her life, and Peter's like, you know, well, I understand a little bit, like you would. You know, I kind of get it. You know, I was bit by a spider, too.
Can you go back to my place?
Yeah. Well, then she asks, how did Moreland die? You know, when exactly did he die? How he died? You know, all that stuff. And Peter goes, exactly. Well, that's tricky. Well, see, the first time I lured him into it, she goes, whoa. What do you mean the first time?
Yep, he came back twice.
I've gone up against him twice. He died both times, like
Peter,
I was saying.
Peter actually was killed by Moreland the second time around.
And she smacks the shit out of him.
And that's how he got the organic web shooters.
Shut up, I'm talking. Smacks the shit out of him and calls him a moron. And she's like, if it means he can come back, you know, he could be out there somewhere right now and you've put us all in danger, you idiot. And I'm like, yes, he rips him a new asshole. And then... He responds with, well, when you put it like that, you know, his whole
typical
little...
Peter Parker, fuck up.
And then she goes, you're joking? How dare you? And he goes, well, it's kind of my thing, you know? He has some really good one-liners in this, I'll give him that, but he just monumentally fucked up.
And this is why I don't read Spider-Man.
Oh, wait, hold on, it gets better. Her webbing, right?
Is it poisonous?
It's not poisonous, but the tip of her line is barbed and catches like a fish hook, as described by Peter Parker. Yeah. So she kind of fucks him a little bit. Yeah. She hits him with a web line, drags him back, and is going to punch him in the face again. And Peter's like, holy shit, she's out of control. Spider-Sense is pounding in my head, screaming. My head's racing. It's going through my veins. I can't take it, man. I never felt this before, man. It's just... And they make out. End
what?
Of issue.
You're lying. That's the end of a bad fanfic, what you just read me right there.
That's funny.
You're lying to me. There's
that,
no
I'm
way...
I'm lying to you. She's straight... She pulls his mask up, and he starts macking on her like nothing had happened.
Isn't he with MJ? Isn't he back with her?
No.
I don't
He's doing the midget, isn't he?
Yeah, well, not anymore. He broke up with the midget because he made
Oh, her... see, you fool, you!
and besides, Iggy, MJ went black, so, you know, she...
Wait, she has a new boyfriend?
Yeah, he's a fireman.
Wow. Oh, well.
He's normal, and he won't be bringing supervillains in.
Yeah.
But supervillains means excitement. Don't you want an exciting life, MJ? Right?
Yeah. Right? Well...
They'll be back together eventually.
She's doing the jewel thing. She went after black guys.
She ain't never going back.
No, she will be back.
Yeah. Of course she will.
Anyway, so that's how this issue ends. And it's really just a huge kicker of an issue just because of the sheer amount of just twists and turns.
I have to see that. I have to flip through that.
At least find it and flip through it, Ben. You will be amused for if nothing else.
I will.
But I found it highly entertaining just because this girl's like, you idiot! I'm free! You idiot! Nom, nom, nom. Not macking on space. That's literally her characterization in this issue. You idiot! I'm free! You idiot!
Peter Parker's whole summation of his life, you're an idiot.
Pretty much, yeah. And, of course, he's just chasing after the whole issue, which, admittedly, she's drawn a nice backside, so I can't really fault her for that one. But
is she white?
She seems to be Latina or some sort of ethnic. Okay. I'm not really sure.
It's Marvel now. There you go. Well, Marvel now.
Well, it's a new character, so I'm not mad.
Well, the Sajani girl, the Black Cat, grabs the Indian, obviously. So, you know, they got that going on for her.
She could be Arabian.
She could be. I'm actually kind of... She looks almost like she comes from, like, the Middle East. A little more on the Asian side, though. You know, somewhere in there.
It's like, what, Nepal?
Some kind of ethnic, because she's certainly not white, I'll tell you that. Although I'm not really sure what moon is indicative of.
Although I hate to tell you this, but people from Israel are considered Caucasian.
What?
So,
how?
Yeah.
How is
the U.S. government considers people from Israel? They get counted as Caucasians.
What?
Yep.
That doesn't make any whatever.
It does. Yeah, well,
I don't really want to talk about that whole situation, so let's not go there.
In closing, I just got a kick out of this issue. It's fucking funny as hell, all this plot absurdity bullshit going on, but, you know, Peter had some pretty decent writing in this one, so...
How the hell does he have this much luck with women?
I don't know. He's Peter Parker. It's like...
First Gwen, then MJ, then Black Cat, now this chick, and I'm pretty sure there was others in between.
Yeah, well, let's just say that the webbing we see on her next time probably won't be of her own making, if you know what I'm saying. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Talking about semen.
I say it, boy. That was the joke. Flew right over your head, boy.
Flew right by you. Right over your head.
I'm not racist at all.
3 out of 5, middle of the road, plot absurdity bullshit, but funny as hell.
All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be the only book review because Taser and I could not give a fuck to do this week.
True statement.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for plugging time. If you have not listened to the first glorious episode of the RPG show featuring me and my best friend, Mr. Dragon, please take a good listen to that.
If you haven't listened to it, you're smart because I'm not on it. So.
It is now fearless free.
He's always welcome to come back. It's just that we wanted to start.
You said this. I wasn't until I played the fucking Final Fantasy game, you snob.
True. Anyways, go listen to that. New episode will be up this week. Also, go look back this month as I did reviews on Green Lantern, Green Lantern Core, and Green Lantern New Guardians, as well as Earth 2 at thegreenlanterncore.com. Please check out my review of Shovel Knight that I just posted last month. I posted last week as well. No, I posted on last Thursday. Go check it out for the PC, Wii U, and 3DS. Dragon came out with his review of Persona 4 Arena for the PlayStation Vita. So if
Dragon came out? Oh, I didn't know that.
Hey!
Dragon published his review of Persona 4 Golden for the PlayStation Vita. And this week, you'll get a RPG Replay Game podcast episode as well as our first ever top 10, and it has something to do with Smash Brothers. I'll leave it at that. And so you can find that at marvelousiki.wordpress.com. So, that's enough for me. And hopefully I'll be a columnist at another website soon. Thanks to Brian's help. Thank you again, Brian.
Welcome, good sir.
Brian, do you have anything to say?
Peter Parker's an idiot.
Taser.
JV, be on the show.
Yes, that too. Ladies and gentlemen, next week's prize fight.
We've been hyping it for a while now.
I'm saying it's going down. Hey, D to the P, poke JV, make him come on the show.
So and again,
or Spider Lantern or West, do us a favor, all three of you, kick JV, remind him to come on the show next week, so I can trash this movie in front of all.
This movie's gonna be awesome.
This movie will be awesomely bad.
I'm going to laugh if you come back and you say, you know what.
I will be completely honest and give it a fair shot, though. I will say that.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course I'm not going to
overhype this.
You're already overhyping it. You've been overhyping it for the past 2 weeks.
Underhyping it, so I have to balance it out.
This movie looks crappy, but I'm
this
going
movie
to
looks
it
awesome,
shot.
Okay? I want to hear it.
I will say this, that you thought the same of Thor: The Dark World, and you ended up loving that movie. I will say the same thing. All right. So, with that being said, next week, we will not have a regular special edition We will not have a regular episode. Rather, we will just have a special edition podcast dedicated to Guardians of the Galaxy, because Call Lord, that is either going to go really long or it's going to be really short of all going us. Was it good? It was good.
It's going to be just a huge cacophony of us screaming at each other. That's what it's going to be.
No, it's going to be a huge cacophony of y'all screaming at me.
It's going to be like the end of the Batman 66 flick with all the world leaders just sitting around a table just screaming at each other.
That was an excellent movie.
Of course
it was. Ending to it as well.
So until then, ladies and gentlemen, we will see y'all next week as we head into space, for Guardians of the Galaxy. We'll see y'all out in the space ways. Have a good night.
Next week, it's the prize fight. Get the words and sing along.